It's Ham Nation time. We've got a full show for you tonight. Bob is not here, but that's okay. We've crammed full of content for you. Gordon's going to talk about marine radios and safety and that horrific accident on the West Coast. We're going to talk a little bit of kit building. We're going to talk a little bit about Hurricane Dorian. Dr. T is here with solar, and we're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff. You don't want to miss it. Oh, brand new stuff from ICOM, too. Brand new stuff from ICOM. Direct from Japan. George has that, and we're going to give it all to you right now on Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by LDG Electronics. LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners and related products for every amateur need. Visit LDGElectronics.com to learn more. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Hover. Make a name for yourself with Hover. Visit Hover.com/TWIT to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 418 on September 4th, 2019. ICOM 705 and Route 66 on the air.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham Nation, episode number 418. Bob can't be with us this week. He should be back next week. So I'm here with the usual crew of suspects, including out on the West Coast, Gordon West. Hi, Gordo.
Well, hi there, George, and hi to Ham Nation listeners and viewers. I know where Bob is. He's getting ready for this, Route 66, or is it Route 66? Anyway, they go on the air this coming Friday evening, and that would be the special event stations all along Route 66. They'll be on the air for an entire week, so all of next week, get out there on HF. And I have an inside report of where you might find them. You'll generally find them on high-frequency single sideband, whose frequency ends with 66, such as 38, 66, 72, 66, 14, 2, 66, 21, 3, 66, and 28, 4, 66, and up. So if you get a chance, let these men and women and kids have a contact. Their call signs will begin and end with just a letter, a number, and a letter as a special event for Route 66. And who knows, maybe you'll even hear Bob out there as well. George?
Yeah, that's a great event every year, Gordo. I've heard a lot about it and made a few contacts on it before. I know Bob really enjoys that one, too. Well, also down south here, we've got Don Wilbanks. Hi, Don.
Hey. Yeah, we pronounced it Route 66 in Oklahoma. Of course, it goes through Oklahoma City, and I've driven on that little section of Route 66 a lot and would love to go out and do some of that stuff out west and actually drive what part of the mother road is still alive out there. Well, barely. It's still hanging on. And by the way, hello to our listeners on WTWW. I wonder if you could, that was a great song, that Route 66 song. I wonder if you could request Get Your Kicks on Route 66 on WTWW, because they take requests. If they do, I would recommend the version by Asleep at the Wheel if you're into Texas swing music. And you ought to be. We're going to have a word from Dr. Tamitha Scove in the solar update coming up in a little bit. And I did a little smoke and solder stuff over the weekend, and I'll show you the finished result live right here on camera because I was too busy building to take pictures, George.
All right, Don. Well, yeah, do you connect your internet to a router or a router?
That would be a router.
It's all relative.
Exactly. And don't you bring my relatives into here.
Okay. And also with us tonight, joining us a little bit earlier, but she's always here at the end of the show. Now she's at the first of the show tonight. Hi, Amanda.
Well, hello, George. And you guys, George didn't get the memo tonight. We said wear blue. Anyhow.
Yeah. He's a rebel.
Yep.
I missed I'll be it. Taking your
I've
questions.
I've got the blue lights.
Oh, the blue lights.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That makes up for it. I say, first of all, I vote Root. Second, for those of you this weekend that were prepping for a hurricane, I hope you had a fun, safe time. And stay tuned. I'll have some questions. I'll be taking your questions. We'll give those to the hosts at the end of the show. Back to you, George.
Okay, Amanda. We'll be looking forward to you coming back then. Well, Gordo, tell us more about this Route 66.
Well, I can tell you it's a one-week operating event, and it's a great opportunity to get some wonderful QSL cards. It was started about 20 years ago by the Northern Arizona DX Association, and then taken over by a local group that I'll be visiting tomorrow on, the Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club and its members in San Bernardino. And we're going to be out there, not on Route 66, but we'll be out there supporting them on high frequency. And we hope everybody has an opportunity. As you can see there, there's some great QSL card ideas that you too may be picking up on Route 66. Oh, I'm sorry, Don. Route 66.
Yeah, and, Route 66.
We hope all of you have a good opportunity in working those stations. It starts again this Friday night at actually would be Saturday morning Zulu time, but Friday night right around the change to Saturday 0001 Zulu on make that 0001 Zulu. You get the idea. Friday night into Saturday morning. So good luck on working Route 66. We'll be on 20 meters mobile and maybe hope to hear you. Concurrently, certainly a lot of activity on 14325, the hurricane net, and 7268. Pretty close to 66, so give them a little elbow room in the evening hours. That's the Hurricane Watch Net, and we just wish everybody, as Amanda was indicating, on the East Coast to be safe when the incoming happens. And, you know, there's a lot of incoming happens. One of the principal frequencies for Maritime Mobile is VHF Channel 16. And if you live near a river that is patrolled by state police or Coast Guard or parks, if you live next to the ocean that the U.S. Coast Guard is your main responder out at sea, whether it's East Coast, West Coast, or the Gulf, you can tune in Channel 16 with your Marine VHF, with your ham radio. You can tune in to Marine VHF. Simply punch in the frequency 156.8, 156.8, and that's where you'll hear plenty of action when the times are tough. And let me tell you, this past weekend, times were extremely tough for the United States Coast Guard, our auxiliary units, and of course, many mariners that lost their lives on that dive boat about 22 miles offshore in a very remote island called Santa Cruz Island. And huge investigations are going on. You've all heard the news, so you know sort of what happened. The vessel just exploded, and people were trapped. And they were trapped because there was a galley in the middle floor. They were down below in the bunk room. And for those that go on these overnight fishing trips or scuba trips, you're usually down below about the water line because it's a much smoother ride. And in the Santa Barbara Channel, believe me, the waves can get pretty tough. But luckily, the weather was not too bad other than a lot of haze. The Mayday call, Mayday, 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 came in on Channel 16 at about 3:15. And more than likely, that crewman that was calling the Mayday likely had a Marine VHF handheld because the reception was intermittent. It was noisy, a lot of background noise. And, of course, after the Mayday, he's indicated he can't breathe. After the United States Coast Guard immediately came back to that station, a much stronger station aboard likely the same vessel came on to indicate that they were abandoning ship. 30-plus souls were trapped. There was no door that blocked them below decks. It was the valley. It was the galley. They called it the kitchen in the newspaper. It was the galley that likely was feeding the flames. And, you know, most galleys aboard vessels that I've been sailing on, almost all of the ranges are run on propane. And propane has a density of 1.55. Air has a density of 1.0. So the propane begins to sink. And when I say sink, remember, these folks were on the bottom floor, you might say the basement of the vessel. And that is probably where the propane began to collect, coming out of something malfunctioning in the galley area. Or maybe they were turning things on in the galley area for that breakfast for these 30-plus divers. And that was the ignition. And when the galley went up in flames, that was the only way out. They had no second escape hatch. Oh, yeah, there was a second escape hatch, but you had to go through the galley to get to the escape hatch forward. That's nuts. So I encourage all of you, seriously, whenever you're in a vessel for maybe an overnight cruise or maybe just in a vessel down below, or you're in an RV, as we're going to be this weekend, or you're in an aircraft, know where your exits are. And do not be tempted to stay overnight in anything that does not have an alternate exit, maybe a hotel room because they've got those good fireproof doors. But be very cautious aboard a fiberglass vessel or a wood vessel as this was that would just go up in a second. You need a second exit out. When I was down at Christmas Island and doing some of the larger boats going from island to island, I slept out on deck because the crew's quarters were down below with only one way out, and that went through the galley or right beside the galley. And I said, you know, I think I'll just get some fresh air. I didn't make a big deal of it. Luckily, everything was fine for us, but not fine this past weekend. So I encourage all of you, be cautious. Watch where you are going to sit down and relax, and always be thinking, what is my exit if I can't get out the way I came in? Unfortunately, they had no alternate exit other than the staircase that took them right through what appears to be the inferno and the start point of those flames. So lives lost. I guarantee my Coast Guard comrades will be studying this, and who knows, I'm sure there'll be much tighter inspections on occupant safety when they're sleeping down below with the galley up above, and who knows where the propane tank was. I guarantee it wasn't down below, but remember, propane sinks. Yes, there was an introduced smell, but we've not heard any reports as to whether or not they smelled the smell before. So, on a happier note, just make sure that when you're ready to go off duty and hit the rack, know where that other exit is, so in an emergency, you can bail. So, Don, let me turn it over to you, and I think you've got some exciting news about ICOM and LDG and our other great sponsors. Don?
We sure do. That's some very, very good words about boating safety. When I bought a boat, my first boat back in 1990, first thing I did was take the Coast Guard Auxiliary Safe Boating course, and then the next thing I did was I went down and I bought a handheld VHF Marine radio. And later on, I put a 25-watt model with a little rail-mounted Shakespeare stainless steel base-loaded whip on there, just in case. But and that actually came in handy once in my years of boat ownership. We had had an issue with the engine and actually did have to call Mayday and had to be pulled in by a crew boat that was on their way out to one of the rigs. So, yeah, make sure you have that. And that was long before I was a ham. Make sure you have that equipment on there. And I had never even thought about the sleeping quarters down below the galley. That's and then having the only escape route come up through the galley where a fire in this case was. I can't even imagine. And yeah, I'd be sleeping on deck too. So good stuff, Gordon. Thanks for bringing that to us. Let's talk about antenna tuners, shall we? Particularly LDG Electronics antenna tuners. This episode of Ham Nation brought to you by LDG. LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners for every amateur need, from QRP to QRO. That's low power to high power, or high power to low power, depending on how you want to mix those letters around. Fixed stations, portable, remote, pretty much anytime you need a tuner, an LDG tuner will fill the bill. An LDG tuner will make your radio match your radio to your antenna using their lightning-fast proprietary tuning algorithms. Check out the LDG AT1000 Pro 2. That is the flagship automatic antenna tuner. It's made for those QRO hams like Gordon. It'll handle 1,000 watts sideband, 500 watts FM and digital. Tuned from 1.8 to 54 megahertz. That's 160 meters to 6 meters continuously. It'll match Yagis, dipoles, inverted Vs, slopers, virtually any coax fed antenna from 6 to 1,000 ohms impedance, and the tuning time is under 10 seconds. And if it's a memory tuning, it's under 2/10 of a second. That's 0.2 second. Yeah, it's fast. Large, easy-to-read bar graph watt meter with two selectable ranges, dual antenna switch, 2,000 memories for each position. LDG is a family-owned and operated company, and they are absolutely dedicated to bringing innovative quality products to us in the amateur market. Their focus is on anticipating and meeting our needs and providing us with world-class support that is literally just a phone call or an email away. Every LDG tuner carries a 2-year full warranty, fully transferable. So if you ever sell or give away your LDG tuner because, you know, you're the generous type, the remainder of the warranty will go with it. Free return shipping on all warranty repairs, too, should you need that. All LDG products, including balance and cables, are available for purchase through select reseller. So check out which automatic antenna tuner is right for you, and then go to ldgelectronics.com because they have it. To learn more, that's where you go, ldgelectronics.com, and we thank LDG for their support of Ham Nation. Let's see what George has got going on tonight. George?
Well, Don, I did not do any smoke and soldering this weekend. I was tied up with other projects. One is pulling the dashboard out of my daughter's Fusion and replacing a little sensor to get the air conditioner running again. I did some research on the internet, and I found out that was a common reason that the air conditioners failed in those Ford Fusions. And it's only $40. Unfortunately, you have to pull the dashboard out to get to where it needs to be changed. And if you take it to a shop, that's probably going to cost you $600. So I decided I'd do it myself. And it was an experience and took me, well, I got it finally put back together just before dark on Labor Day. So an experience there. But, hey, I look at it like I saved $600. So anyway, that's not all that I did, though. Over the weekend, this past Friday night, we were shooting an episode of Ham College, and it just happened to coordinate with Saturday morning in Tokyo. And Ray Novak from ICOM was at the Tokyo Ham Fair this year, and we had arranged for, and it's if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see it down there, Victor. There's a right there. Tokyo Ham Fair preview, and below that there is another one. Oh, that's the ICOM 705. Yeah. Anyway, we coordinated with Ray because we were going to be shooting live at that time anyway. So he called in with his phone from Tokyo, and we got some live action from right there on the showroom floor at Tokyo Ham Fair. And we took a look at the new products that ICOM was showing this year. Some for release, most of these that we look at here, still under development. So it's, well, it was really exciting to be able to do this live, and we appreciate Ray for connecting up with us. Timing-wise, it just worked out. So I've got a clip here for you tonight from just some of the action that went on in the ICOM booth this past week at Tokyo Ham Fair.
It's a lot like Dayton the Hamvention, doesn't it?
It does.
Boy, it sure does. Crowded.
I think we could call this Dayton Hamvention Light because the average weight is much less.
Oh, wow.
So what they're doing right now is, in Japanese, the introduction of the 705 to the crowd here.
705?
Yes, the 705 is a new QRP radio introduced by ICOM.
Oh, just
it
released
is, a direct sampling on HF, and I'm not sure if it's a single or a double conversion for VHF and UHF.
Huh. So it's brand new that we're just now releasing it on the world.
Releasing information. It's not ready to sell yet. It's still in the development stage.
Interesting radio.
And I mean, they're really packed in here.
Boy, it looks like it. Now, you said QRP rig?
Yes, sir. 5 watts with the same battery pack that you have on your ID51A.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's neat.
So
that's pretty awesome.
They're introducing a new backpack for it as well. So this is going to be very... very interesting to try to get around into here. So, there we go. Finally. Okay. So the radio weighs less than 1 kilogram.
Oh, nice.
Oh, this one. This one's just a dummied up unit. We're looking at the speaker mic in the backpack. And then we've got the power button right here. This one's not powering up either. But a little bit farther over we do. But to give you an idea of the size.
Wow. And how long
is it? Looking at the tape underneath it, yeah, that's not a working unit.
So has ICOM had a QRP rig before?
Yes, we did the IC703, which was built on the 706 body. So I'm making my way over here.
So this is a replacement for that?
Yes. But it goes quite a bit more because the 703, we had the 703 and the 703 Plus. And that just did HF in 6. But here we go. We get a good idea. So, Tommy, that looks like your battery, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Wow.
So, we're going to have some better rope when you bring that by the studio here.
Yeah, they're not going to let me back with this one.
Yeah.
But there's all your bands.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Your modes.
So, all band, all mode? Wow, it looks just like... Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, I don't know if you guys are hearing me clear. The audio is kind of choppy coming back.
Yeah, you sound fine here.
So, we got the miniscope. It functions a lot like a 7300 and a 9700. So let me get back out of here. I want to show you guys new technology. Sorry. They're showing a
concept on technology. It's not something that we're going to release in products, but just showing you the capabilities.
Okay.
So, you know, we watched on TV where you could speak into a universal translator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So this is an IP501, which operates on the LTE network. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what it does is it goes over an LTE network into a server and then back out, but then it translates it from English to Japanese or Japanese back to English.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Very interesting.
So, give you an idea of the...
Digital babble fish.
Hold on. Can you do it again? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Wow.
So that's, are you guys able to hear that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's
amazing.
So that was just very basic conversation. Again, just showing a prototype. We got a cutaway of the 9700 showing the three separate PAs that are internal.
Yeah.
And then also there's new firmware that's being released that helps with the stability, but there will be at the end of September even more new firmware that will allow you to transfer photos between two 9700s without a computer or without any auxiliary devices.
So,
it looks like they're loading it in with a computer here. But here's Miss Nami. She's the Miss D star here in Japan.
That is interesting. So you use the display on the radio. That's pretty cool.
Here we go. So we go to picture. And that looks just like what you guys did in that video, transferring photos to each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it does.
So on this one, there's where it looks like slow scan, and then there's the output.
Wow.
That's very awesome.
So that'll be exciting to see. They're showing the app for the R30 and the receivers here. And then finally, if you want to not play QRP, but you want to look at high power, we have the new PW1. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it will be a replacement for the PW1, but it is called the PW2. And this one's going to be configured for contesting. As you can see, the crowd around it is just unbelievable. It's HF and 6 meters. But it is an SO2R amplifier.
Huh. So it has been several years since ICOM released a new amplifier, right?
Oh, it has been a while. Probably 15 years.
Does that say 1KW? I guess it does.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... Here we go. I'll get in here this time. So right now it's an SO2R mode. And you can see it's on 20 and 15. It tells you the temperature rating, the humidity. Showing the back of the amplifier.
Nice. That looks like one of the rigs almost.
Yeah.
And the head comes out as a remote head.
Cool. Oh,
and then check out the output. There are brochures in English that we will send out soon. And you can, oh, they're modeling the backpack. And the lady if I remember correctly, this is Masako. She is a pop singer in Japan that is a ham radio operator, and a lot of her songs deal with ham radio.
Wow. That's cool.
So she'll turn around here in a minute. And we should be getting close to the time for us to do the presentation in English. Let me come around here to Miss Airy. This is Mr. Asano-san. He's in charge of the advertising department at ICOM. And in Inaba-san, he came with us to Dayton this year. But Miss Airy is about to do it in English.
Yeah, I'm about to give a presentation in English.
Cool.
In 30 minutes. In 30 minutes on what radio?
IC705.
Wow.
All right, guys. So I don't know if you want to come back in about a half hour or what you want to do.
Ring us. Why don't you ring us back in half an hour?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, Ray. Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for this late-breaking story here from Tokyo Hamfest.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. You have a good one.
Yeah, all right. You too, we'll see you in a little bit.
And we did also carry that video in English of the IC705 from Airy. And you should check that out. Just go to amateurlogic.tv and you'll find the link to both videos there. That's the easiest way for me to tell you how to find it, because it's, no need trying to spell out a YouTube link right here live. That would be difficult. You probably wouldn't remember it. So go check them at amateurlogic.tv. That 705 is a really nice looking rig. It's still in development right now, so we don't know a date of when it's going to be released. We don't know what the price will be yet. None of that's been determined, but I believe it will be ready in time for Dayton. So it's not terribly far away. We'll have to watch that more. If you like the 7300, the 7610, the 9700, you'll be right at home with that, just like any of the ICOM rigs. They all operate very similar. This is really going to change up things in the QRP world, I believe. Some folks have mentioned about it does not include a tuner, and no, there's no tuner in it. But a lot of people don't want a tuner. They use resonant antennas. And in that case, why would you want to be forced to pay for a tuner? You know, I'm suspecting somebody will come out with a tuner just for this rig that maybe even snaps onto the case or something. Anyway, great looking QRP rig there, and features that, you know, frankly, we've never seen on a QRP rig before. So looking forward to that coming out. Well, I didn't get to do any smoke and soldering, as I mentioned earlier. But I did have something finally show up. It's been on back order for over a month now. My Raspberry Pi 4, 4 gigabyte memory model, came in couple of days ago. And last night I burned an image on an SD card, put it in the case, and booted it up. And I've got it going now. I can't give you any details as to exactly how fast it is. I can tell you it is faster than previous models. Looking forward to doing that, though. USB 3 on it. It has two video ports now, and both of them are the micro HDMI style connector, but they do 4K. So that is interesting. And it's available, you know, in the standard 1 gig models like all the other Raspberry Pis, but also 2 gigabyte models, which I had one of those that I have not burned an image for yet. I've got to do. And the 4 gigabyte model, the one that's been backordered so long. So I'll let you know more about that as it comes along. And hey, Don's going to do some smoking, soldering for us here a little bit later in the show. I do want to mention, though, if you've been working on something, we want to know about it. Send photos of your project and a description, no videos, please, to Randy. Send it to hamprojects@twit.tv, and you may be in a future episode of Show Us Your Projects, hamprojects@twit.tv. And we look forward to seeing what you're building. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with more Ham Nation tonight. But first, let's get a message from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Make the most out of contest season with one of these ICOMs today. IC7610, the SDR every ham wants. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Or get the IC7300. Changing the way entry-level HF is designed, this high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Keep your competitive edge with faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC7851 is the pinnacle of HF perfection. Dual receivers, digital IF filters, memory keyer, digital voice recorder, high-resolution spectrum waterfall display, enhanced PC connectivity, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM invites you to enter in their weekly drawings for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And when you do that, you'll also be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this episode and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. For September, the new prize is the ICOM ID5100A Dual Band Dual Watch Mobile. Built-in GPS, touchscreen operation, DVDV Dual Watch, DVFM repeater list function. There's a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, an available UT133 Bluetooth module, and there's downloadable Bluetooth and Android apps available for it. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this in each episode and register to win. Who knows? We could be calling your name at the end of the month as a grand prize winner there. And every week they give away multiple swag kits, so chances are good there. Go register. ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And now the man with all the news that's news in ham radio, it's Don Wilbanks.
Yeah, before we get into that, I want to show you my little smoke and solder project. I was too busy building. I hadn't built a kit in forever, so I didn't want to be distracted by taking pictures or video or anything. So I'm going to show you the finished product. It comes from Four States QRP, which Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, has talked about at length on this program. And it is a shortwave receiver, and it's called the Ozark Patrol. It's a regen receiver, which is really, really cool. It basically goes from 3.5 meg to about 15 or so. And there is the finished product right there. It is very nice looking. See if I can see that. We've got that nice piano black on the front. And that is a double-sided circuit board. And it's all solder masked. And it's all tinned on the front, too. That's where you get that nice silver color from the tinning. But it's clad on that side as well as the back side to minimize the capacitive coupling of your hand. You still get some, but not nearly as much. If I flip this around, you'll see first off the base is on a pine board. On the back, it's all surface mount, but it's not surface mount. It's discrete components that I basically use solder to pads, and it works out great. There's three transistors on there. You've got a speaker. You've got a headphone jack as well. And you wind the toroid. It's 20 turns on there. It's very cool. Little Fonstock clips for the antennas, or the antenna. And that is a this curlicue thing above my finger here. Just right here is what's called a gimmick capacitor. And you can tighten it up or loosen it, and it helps in matching the antenna. Of course, just a random wire is all you need. But a very cool little kit. Took about 6 hours to put together. I haven't tried it out yet because I don't have any batteries, but that's coming up next. But four-stage QRP, you can just Google them. It's called the Ozark Patrol. And there it is right there. There's everything you need to know is right there on that on the webpage. Like I said, just Google Ozark Patrol, and you'll come up with it. There's the assembly manual, the schematic, parts list. There's a really good photo page on there showing you all kinds of cool stuff. And they've got a lot of great kits on there. And speaking of, Joe Eisenberg gave me this kit at Huntsville. He said, here, I got something for you. I think you'll enjoy this. And I did, Joe. Thank you very much. Joe is going to be at the Peoria Superfest along with me coming up September 21st, that weekend. And he is going to be doing a kit build. And he gave me a preview of it today. And pretty cool. I'm gonna have to make time to get in on that kit build. And maybe build one of those as well. So looking, and that would what he's doing is would be perfect with a little Ozark Patrol, I think, to as a battery eliminator. I'm not going to give you any more on that, but it's going to be cool. So hopefully you can check Joe out at Peoria, Illinois, with me and Drew Vreba, our young ham of the year at the Peoria Superfest. We're looking forward to that, and thank them those guys for the. For the invite. Hope to see a lot of Ham Nation viewers up there. All right. That's my little smoke and solder thing for the week. Got to get me some batteries. I'll probably steal some from work. Did I say that out loud? Oh, no. Well, I'll borrow some from work. And while I try to figure out an alibi for that, let's go ahead and catch the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2183, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 4th, 2019. At production time, Hurricane Dorian was raking Grand Bahama Island with sustained winds of 155 miles an hour and was creeping west at 1 mile per hour towards Palm Beach, Florida. This is an active story, and we'll have updates on the next Amateur Radio Newsline Report. We turn now to South India, where floods wiped out all critical modes of communication except for one, amateur radio.
The Malabar Amateur Radio Society in India reports that its repeater system provided critical connections in some parts of the Indian state of Kerala in early August after a landslide disrupted all communication lines throughout the region, including mobile phone service. The state had been hard hit by flooding, and even the radio system used by local police had failed. The Ham Radio Society told the Hindu newspaper that when word of the landslide hit, the communications cutoff was anticipated. Fortunately, the local amateurs had participated in a number of disaster management drills and were prepared. The Malabar Amateur Radio Society told the newspaper that this was a repeat of the kind of support the hams provided during the 2018 floods. The Malabar Amateur Radio Society has other good news to report. The group will be setting up what's believed to be India's first digital voice repeater station, utilising D-Star. The solar-powered station is expected to become a crucial part of the group's strategy the next time disaster strikes the region. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Some new hams in Romania are celebrating the completion of their first experience with Summits on the Air, and it was a success.
On a summit in Romania in mid-August, the newly licensed young hams of the YO6KGS Radio Club savoured the first falling stars of the Perseids meteor shower, and the next day something equally stellar, the first Summit on the Air experience. With teachers from their school, including Adrian Bochu, YO5IA, guiding them, the teenagers learned about local flora at a nature reserve in eastern Transylvania, heard about meteor scatter and pursued SOTA contacts on 20 meters, as well as UHF and VHF, over the course of 4 days. They learned how properly to set up their antennas and make SOTA contacts. They also said that the companionship, good humor, and lessons they'd learned had made the experience memorable. So memorable, in fact, that they're hoping to do it all over again. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hams in New Zealand are preparing to scale the summits there to honor a very special silent key for the second year in a row.
Andrew White said L3CC took pleasure in combining two things he considered some of the best things in his life, amateur radio and the beautiful outdoor landscape of New Zealand. The Christchurch resident fully embraced these activities through the awards program known as Summits on the Air, activating Mount Sinclair, Coronet Peak and Cobb Ridge amongst scores of others. After he became a silent key unexpectedly in 2018, New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters proclaimed that the Saturday after his birthday was to be known as Andrew White Memorial SOTA Activity Day, to honour his work and his contributions. This year's event, the second such activity, is taking place on the 14th of September. NZART's Vice President Warren Harris said L2AJ noted in a recent NZART podcast that the purpose of the day is to get out on a summit in the same spirit as Andrew himself did and to remember this silent key. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With John Williams, VK4JJW, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
Space weather this week has definitely been a bit on the exciting side. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see that coronal hole that's leaving the sun's west limb. That coronal hole brought us some fast solar wind, and along with a stealthy solar swarm, it brought us up to storm levels at Earth. In fact, it brought us up to G2 levels, which is a moderate storm level. And this lasted over 3 days, so it's an extended storm period. And unfortunately, the peak of the storm happened right around September 1st and 2nd, right when Hurricane Dorian was absolutely hovering over the Bahamas and just decimating multiple cities there. And the first responders and the hurricane watch nets, of course, they went dead. I heard amateur radio operators and emergency responders were having a horrible time trying to get people up on 20 and 40 meters, but they managed to do it sporadically. Luckily, since then, things have been dying down with the storm. And as Dorian continues to ravish the east coast of the United States, it looks like the watch nets are back up and running pretty well. Now, back at the sun, we also have had a very small sunspot that showed up for a little while. It was kind of spitting off a few things here and there, but nothing in terms of flares. There's no real strong activity there, so no worry about radio blackouts. And then that region has since kind of died down a bit. As we switch to our partial backside monitor, this is stereo. It's kind of looking at the sun from the side. You can see there are a couple bright regions on the sun's backside that are going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next few days. They're most likely not strong enough to boost the solar flux any. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, I'm sorry, the solar flux is going to continue to stay in about the mid to high 60s over the next week. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are still coming down from that moderate level solar storm that bumped us up to G2 levels here over the past couple days. But luckily, the storm is finally beginning to wane. At high latitudes, NOAA is only expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 20 to 25% chance of a major storm. Now, mid-latitudes, things are a little bit more quiet. We're also expecting unsettled conditions, but only about a 20% chance of active conditions. And this is good news to you emergency responders for Hurricane Dorian, especially those working the hurricane watch nets. It doesn't look like we're going to have that much more problems from the solar storm causing disruptions on radio frequencies. So luckily, as things continue to quiet down through the week, it should get better and better. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we do have a bright region on the Earth-facing disk right now, but it is not causing any big flares. So everything is still in the green when it comes to flares and radio blackouts. We don't have any risk for that. Luckily, though, it is boosting the solar flux just a little bit. We're now sitting in the high 60s, and that will continue here over the next few days before that region rotates off of the Earth-facing disk. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, hours, you're getting a little bit of a boost for radio propagation, but it's not all that much. Now, meanwhile, because we are in solar minimum, we have a cosmic ray flux that's a bit higher than it normally would be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are in the moderate range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers, so please take this into consideration in your flight plans. For more details on this week's space weather, including when and where to see aurora, how GPS and emergency radio is going to fare, especially with Hurricane Dorian, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Make sure you check her out on Twitter there. You saw the Twitter address, at Tamitha Scove. She's a great follow, and I'm glad she mentioned Hurricane Dorian. It reminded me to give you the latest. I checked the latest just before we went on the air. It was a Category 5 with winds of sustained winds of 185 miles per hour, and of course gusts way over 200 when it was raking the Bahamas. It stayed over the Bahamas for 48 hours. Now, when you think about that, for those of you who maybe, most of you watching, probably never been in any kind of tropical weather, unless, of course, you've spent some time down here on the coast. Think in terms of a tornado, an EF4 tornado, which is a devastating, devastating tornado, has winds approaching 185 to 200 miles an hour. Of course, that's normally over. When it hits you, it's over with in seconds, or at the very most, a minute or two. Imagine that sitting on your head for 48 hours. That's the kind of devastation that we're going to be seeing, and we have been seeing coming out of the Bahamas. Just horrendous. At least 20 confirmed deaths in the Bahamas, probably more to come. The good news is it has decreased dramatically. It's now, as of about 8 o'clock before we went on the air, a Category 2 with winds of 110. It's moving north at about 5 miles an hour. So hopefully it'll be getting out of here. It's about 130 miles south of Charleston, South Carolina right now. And at this point, I think it's expected to stay offshore, which is a good thing. We'll certainly minimize any effects. But our hearts are with the folks down in the Bahamas. And if you can help out by donating to the Red Cross or any of the other bona fide relief organizations, we certainly encourage you to do so. All right. So, like I said, our prayers are with the folks in the Bahamas and, of course, on the East Coast, too, those people who are going to be affected, if at all. So let's talk now about a website, and the website is could be your website if you need one. And a great way to build one is to use a company called Hover. Hover is a jumping off point for entrepreneurs, and a lot of them anyway, and they want you to start your business with a domain name. Hover has over 300 domain name extensions to choose from when building your brand online. So no matter what you want to build, there's a domain name waiting for you. If you want to start your own amateur radio website or show, go to hover.com/twit and check out some of the domain names. They have amateurradio.tech. They have hamradio.engineer. They have a whole lot more, too. You'll find exciting technical support available to answer any questions you may have. The support team doesn't upsell you either. They only work hard to help you get online, and that's their main goal. Just get you online. They're not going to upsell you. Hover has free Whois privacy protection. It's got a clean and easy to navigate UX and UI, monthly sales on popular top level domains as well. Keep your domain name separate from hosting. Gives you the flexibility to choose the right platform for your business. No one wants to be stuck with a solution that doesn't meet your needs. So, for instance, I talked about maybe stealing batteries from work, from the radio station, to power up my Ozark Patrol. Now, I'm not going to get in trouble for that because, you know, our engineers are hams. But just in case I did, I might need, you know, Don's resume and see if I can get that. I bet you probably can. Be looking for that on a computer near you. Well, cross your fingers that we don't. And no matter what your domain name is going to be, make it personal. Make a name for yourself with Hover. Visit hover.com/twit to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. That's hover.com/twit. 10% off your domain extension for a full year. And we, of course, thank Hover for their support. Time to head over to the chat room now with Amanda, K1DDN, and she's going to probably have some questions for us from the chat room, Amanda.
I have tons of questions. I also have tons of comments about what Brian typed in there. So many Will Banks pages. So many opportunities for you, Don. I'm not even kidding.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, I'm on the show and I always sit at Jeff's desk when I do this show. And he always has random crap out here. So I had to show you guys this. Y'all ever seen one of these? It won't focus on it very well. It's a GPS, a Dio. Anyhow, he has two of these boxes sitting here, and I thought, huh, this is kind of cool. There's like a 10 megahertz plug out here. And anyhow, check it out. He uses it for his voter systems. All right, let's get to the real questions. First of all, I have one announcement to make. The New England ARRL convention is Friday, September 7th through the 8th at the Regency Hotel in Boxborough, Massachusetts. And with that, let's go to Gordo first. Gordo, with this hurricane coming, what are Aries people doing right now over there?
Well, first of all, regarding Boxborough, that is a wonderful convention, and I encourage all of you to turn out to Boxborough. I did Boxborough a couple of years ago. Friendly people, wonderful convention. I love Boxborough. Aries has mobilized, and right now, of course, we're switching over to the new Aries management program. But from what I understand, Aries operators that are during this transition are still out there serving their either served agency or the Aries leadership and are ready to deploy, but of course will not do anything until they've been given the actual deployment. So we encourage all of you not to self-deploy in that self-deployment is not allowed for both Aries as well as our own U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary as much as we'd like to. However, it certainly doesn't prevent you from getting on the air and broadcasting to locals any important weather information that you may have that you feel the net control can pass on to either their served agency within the city or to the National Hurricane Center. So, yep, Aries is quite active during this transition period that the league is now bolstering our Aries teamwork. Back to you.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that a lot of times these EOCs are planning way ahead for this stuff, even if the hurricane ends up not hitting them directly. So a lot of these Aries members are traveling there and they're planning to stay there for about a week. So they bring their sleeping bags and they find a cot in the back of the room somewhere at the EOC. And they're typically mobilized and ready to go before the hurricane ever gets there, maybe even up to a couple of days beforehand. So we send them all the best and hope that they're not needed at all. But they'll be there if they are. All right. This next question, Don, is for you. This was answered in the chat room, but in case anyone's just listening out there, what batteries does that Ozark Patrol require?
It requires 6 AA batteries, which of course is 9 volts, but you can't use a 9 volt because it pulls a little bit too much current. So yeah, 6 AA batteries. Joe, K0NB, was telling me that some of the guys are using C batteries for that as well, because you get a little bit more capacity. But yeah, six. So it has a battery carrier here for 6 AA batteries on that. So, oh, and while I'm here, I wanted to mention somebody in the chat room mentioned they wanted us to plug something going on in Wyoming. I put the link in the rundown for you, Vic. The 2019 ARRL Wyoming Section Convention is this weekend, September 7th in Gillette, Wyoming. So if you're going to be in that area, by all means, go by and give them a visit. Amanda?
All right. Thank you. Now, George, this was brought up when you, I think we had to hang up on you and call you back or whatnot. Gordo had mentioned that he was looking for questions for the extra pool, and he wanted all of our audience to submit some questions. Something maybe that they're missing that they haven't covered in the extra poll. He thought maybe digital, something FT8 related or whatever, maybe more ATV questions. I definitely think they need more polar coordinate questions myself. What do you think, George?
You know, put me on the spot. I hadn't thought about that. I think they probably need, well, I haven't seen what the new poll's going to have, so it's hard to say for sure. But, yeah, probably more up-to-date technology questions to deal with, not in-depth, but a little bit with software-defined radios and that type of thing. You know, it's you hate to give up any of the old stuff because all of that is still valid for the most part. But, yeah, there probably some refreshing of some of the more modern technology in there might go good.
I agree. And, yeah, you guys, seriously, if you had known me while I was studying to take this extra class test back in the day, no, I don't actually believe that there should be more polar coordinate questions. I think they should be gone forever. It was totally tongue-in-cheek, I promise you. Yeah, things, Winlink, all of it. Now we have FT4. I think we need to know the difference between these modes, because how can we explain it to somebody else if we don't know what they are and why you should use the different modes? So that's kind of where I'm at on it. Don, any thoughts?
No, I studied extra for a year, and for me, it was the impedance questions, because no time ever in any of the math that I took in school, which admittedly was the bare minimum, was there ever a number J? So that's the part that threw me off on the extra was, oh my God, I hope I get one of these questions that I actually know the answer. And I did. I didn't have to pull out a calculator to figure it out. But yeah, I'm like, J's not a number. And just like, head blown. So yeah, just I studied for a year. Just whatever's in the question pool, just put the time in and take the practice test and you'll be fine. But yeah, that was the part that threw me off was, J's not a number? J? Really?
So the other thing you can do, right, Gordo, is we can look at some books. We happen to know a guy around here. But no, yeah, Gordo, go ahead and give us that again. Give the audience the spiel about how and when they should send those questions to you.
Okay. Well, I just got the word a couple of days ago from the question pool committee that they're continuing to seek questions from the general public. And I go, wow, if I've not heard about it, they've not heard about it. But I think there was something in QST magazine for a call for questions. But quite frankly, every time a new question pool comes under review by the question pool committee for a new series of questions beginning July 1, and it'll be July 1, almost a year from now, for extra class. General is already set. It's published. It's out there. So I'm doing this for the committee, not for my book or the league's book or anyone else's book. I'm doing this because it's fun to upgrade the questions. So those of you that have an old league book or Gordo book or anyone's book on extra class, take a look at those questions. And all I need is one or two from each of you to replace a question. Just tell me this question is really old. It should read question and give the question number, and then we will see if we can replace it. And for everyone that gets into the new question pool, I guarantee we'll list your name and call sign in a prominent publication so you can say, yeah, I added one question for the new extra pool. But the deadline is next Tuesday. So send me an email, wb6noa@arrl.net, and just tell me a question and the right answer. I'll come up with the wrong ones called distractors for you and send it on to the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators Question Pool Committee. Back to you, Amanda.
That's great, Gordo. Thank you so much. And I'm thinking of tons of questions, but most of them would probably fall more under the technician or general class. And I'm thinking of things like more System Fusion, Brandmeister, what's the difference, All-Star? There's all of these things now that we don't test on and we don't know anything about it. So you only look into it if you hear about it from somebody else or if it sparks your interest. So with that, we're done. We're going to go over some nets here tonight. I have not seen W7UDI on chat room, so I'm not sure if there's going to be a 20-meter net tonight, but we do have Kevin, KC7FPF. He says he's clear of the hurricane so far, and he's going to be on 71.92. We also have D-Star and 14 Charlie and 31.012 for our DMR net. So with that, George, back to you.
Okay, Amanda, thanks. Some good questions tonight. And boy, we need to come up with some good questions for Gordo for that extra book there. You know, if I had one that ended up in the poll, I don't know that I would want credit for it in a national publication. I might not want people knowing that I was responsible for that question that they missed. Anyhow.
Good point.
Good show
That's
tonight.
True.
Everyone, great to see you all tonight, and we look forward to Bob being back with us next week. Before we get out of here, let's just go around real quick and see if there's any final words. Gordo?
No final words other than if you live next to a seacoast or next to a large lake patrolled by a lake patrol, for heaven's sake, think about if you go out on the water, a Marine VHF handheld, they're about $200. And although I have not heard that this tragedy this past weekend was on digital, all of these Marine VHF radios have a hidden digital distress button, and that's another way that that first operator could have sent the Mayday out, which would have included his lat lawn, and that is with a Marine VHF handheld to hold and press the digital distress button with their maritime mobile service identity number memorized. So encourage everybody with a plain old ham radio handheld or a great ham radio handheld like this one, tune 156.8, especially on the East Coast, because who knows, you may pick up a call from a mariner just a couple of 100 yards away calling Mayday and needing help drifting out into the path of the hurricane, and you might be the one to hear that. So again, on Marine VHF, you can pick it up with ham radio, only on receive, though, 156.800. George?
Okay, Gordo, that's good information there. And certainly we learned a lot from you tonight when you were discussing the potential issues with that boat fire. That's something you want to definitely be careful of, and something I had not thought about before, not being a mariner. So, wow, timely information there. Don, any final words from down south?
Nope, just thanks everybody for being here. And if you're thinking about getting into kits and you like shortwave radios, this is a good one. The Four States QRP Ozark Patrol. Just put Ozark Patrol in Google and you'll find everything you need to do. It took me about 6 hours to do this, and I had not done a kit in forever. It's a great little kit, a lot of fun to build, real easy, and less than 100 parts went together fairly quickly, and winding the toroid was no problem at all. And you can listen to WTWW on this bad boy. Also, you can listen to some of the ham bands, and you know, with AM and sideband and CW. It's all on here because it's just a nice, basic, regenerative receiver. So check that out. Ozark Patrol, Four States QRP Club, and huge thanks to my buddy Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, who is the kit building editor for CQ Magazine, for putting that in my hand at Huntsville. And of course, like I said, Joe's going to be at Peoria. I'll be at Peoria coming up later on, about 3 weeks, and Joe's going to be doing a kit build there, and it's always a great time. So hopefully, if you're going to be in the Peoria, Illinois area for the Peoria Superfest, it's their 100th birthday of the club, and it's also my birthday. It's my birthday party, the Peoria Superfest / Don's birthday party. So we hope to see you there, George.
Okay, Don, I would think, you know, if you've got a free radio, that you would at least bring for the batteries for it. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I want to see it operating.
I'm a ham. I'm frugal. I'll steal it from work. I'm not above stealing batteries from work.
I need to point out.
I have like 16 remotes in my house. I mean, really? Steal from all of your remote controls that you don't use.
Six batteries is one more than you can really safely steal from an engineering department. I just feel like I need to let you know that. You know, you could be pushing things there.
The voice of experience.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I used to dole out the batteries. I know how it goes. Well, really a great-looking kit. Man, I saw you posting it on Facebook, you know, over the last few days, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking, man, this looks like something old that Don is rebuilding. And I looked a little closer. No, that's a kit. I just like the way it looks. And that style, I thought more about it. The style of mounting the components on top of the PC board like that, that's very similar to Manhattan style.
Right.
Similar, not exactly the same, but...
The guy that developed this particular technique, it says on the website, the 4SQRP.com/OzarkPatrol, it says he's from Pittsburgh. So he calls it Pittsburgh style construction. But yeah, it's essentially Manhattan construction. But everything is just solders right on top, and both sides of the board are tinned. So as soon as you touch the iron to the pad, it sucks the solder up so well. And it's very, 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 very easy to mount the components. I got down to the very last component, which was like a 56 picofarad, tiny, tiny, tiny little ceramic capacitor. And I dropped it on the floor and it went in the dog kennel. It took me an hour to find it, but I found it finally. But yeah, I'm going to steal some. I'm going to get some batteries tomorrow, I think, somewhere, and I'm going to try to fire this thing up and listen to WTWW.
Yeah, I like the way you phrase that. That sounds much more legit. You might get away with it. Well, Amanda, I see you've got a visitor there. I guess look at those teeth.
I do. She's holding her ball right now, so she's a very happy puppy. And I just wanted to say, Jeff and I also used a radio to be rescued in a boat one time. Our unit in came in handy, and we called for help. Our motor died. It was 4 a.m., and our anchor let up. So we were headed right to the dam, and not a big lake, but still, you're panicked. You're headed towards the dam. You're going to run into a concrete wall. So Jeff called on Channel 16, and the marina answered. They called out for help to the Rangers, and the marina felt so bad because it took them about 2 hours to come out and get us that they finally sent out their own tugboat and got us and brought us back in.
Wow.
So it's scary. You have white caps coming over and over your boat. We're in a small little 16-foot boat, and our anchor had finally caught on a sandbar somewhere. That was the only thing holding us from getting into that dam. And we sat there for a really long time, and it was a pretty scary situation. So that radio was it for us. Get a radio for your boat. That's all I can say. All right, you guys, back to you, George.
All right, good information there too, Amanda. Wow, didn't think about maritime adventures in Colorado, but I guess it's possible anywhere that you got water and get in a boat. Thanks for watching tonight, everyone. Appreciate you being here. And join us again next week, next Wednesday night. Join us live at twit.tv for the next Ham Nation. And Bob should be back with us then. Until then, fire up that soldering iron and do a little something with it. Don should have given you the bug tonight. If not, we'll keep working on it. 7-3.
7-3.